the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, the GOP tax bill, touted as tax reform, has been front and center in the news. There hasn't been much else worthwhile in the news lately, but the GOP has been pushing hard to have this bill on the president's desk, I mean, passed and reconciled by both houses, for signing by year's end. One of the focuses has been a major portion of the bill that would change your deduction for state and local taxes, basically eliminating it. This is going to spark a migration from the high tax states if it goes through, notably states like, you know, Massachusetts, California, New York, and you can think of others right now, because it radically affects people's tax bills. Not only would it impact tax rates, but it would also affect real estate prices and the real estate market in those particular states. So this is poised to have a lot of impact based on what the final bill looks like, but that's what we're going to focus on today.
You know, the surprising thing about this, John, there was a study done by three professors about millionaire migration. It was done based on the study of about 3.5 million tax returns of millionaires, and that they don't really move as often as, let's say, middle class or lower class individuals. In other words, if you've got a high paying job or your business has created your wealth, you generally tend to stay in the area that your wealth was created. So there isn't as much migration as a result of taxes as one would think. And a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, is that if you are living in a high tax state, whether it's California, New York, those taxes are a deduction on your federal tax return. So with the tax rate as high as 44.4%, when you add Medicare tax, the extra Obamacare tax, the loss of the Pease Amendment tax of 1% to the 39.6, for every dollar you pay in state taxes or property taxes, you can deduct up to 40 to 44% of it on your tax return. So it lessens the impact and takes some of the sting out of these high tax states. Now, according to this new study called Millionaire Migration, Taxation of the Elites, Evidence from Administrative Data, according to this study, only about 2.4% of U.S.-based millionaires changed their state of residence in a given year. According to the study, believe it or not, middle-class taxpayers actually move more often, about 4.5%. So it isn't what you would think. And I think one of the main reasons is if you create your wealth, let's say you have a business in the area, you know, you're going to generally stay in that area. If this is where your kids are going to school, this is where you have your home, it's much more difficult. So there really has to be a strong incentive. When you do tend to see people migrate as a result of taxes, you see a lot of people on the East Coast that moved from, let's say, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, they moved to Florida. In fact, in the study, they said Florida has a special place when it comes to migration. Of all the states receiving millionaires, Florida is number one on the spot. So a lot of people, a lot of millionaires on the East Coast, that's where they end up going, especially when they retire. Let's say they sell their business or they're a corporate executive, they retire. Well, they sell the expensive home and they move to sunny Florida where the weather's better. And of course, they're not paying any income taxes besides the cost of living being much, much cheaper.
Yeah, if you look at this, though, the way it's structured, when these people do move, it's not only going to affect just federal government revenues, it will affect state revenues, because you have to recognize the majority of taxes in the country are paid by a small minority of taxpayers. What is it? The top 20% of taxpayers pay the bulk of the country's taxes and the state taxes?
You know, according to Foundation for Tax Research, and this has been done, and even IRS studies show that the top 20% pay the majority of the nation's taxes. And this was something that was brought up in a recent program we did on municipal bonds with Moody's. Moody's was taking a look at why the states got in such difficulty in the last financial crisis and why it took them so long to recover. And a lot of it is because of the progressive nature of their tax system. system. In other words, when states, and like we're seeing with the federal government, are increasingly relying on higher income earners to pay the bulk of the taxes, it really impacts you when those people move. And a good example, billionaire hedge fund manager David Tepper relocated his home and business from New Jersey to Florida. New Jersey lost several hundred million dollars in tax revenues. This is one hedge fund manager. He was a billionaire, but moving his hedge fund to Florida. In fact, Connecticut is about to lose a major hedge fund manager. I got a feeling I know who that guy is. He's very, very wealthy, one of the richest men in the world. And they're trying to convince him to stay. So I don't know if they're negotiating with him and his business, but the state is monitoring their top 10, 100 high net worth residents. You see a lot of hedge fund managers that work in New York City, but they live in Connecticut for lower cost of living and lower taxes. So John, you've got many of these states that are increasingly relying. I know my own state of California is very, very dependent on Silicon Valley and Hollywood millionaires for a lot of their tax revenues. So the practice many states are now putting into place, they're monitoring and putting on hold major tax increases. The new governor of New Jersey ran on a campaign. He was going to raise taxes to shore up the teacher's pension plan. Well, if this GOP plan goes into effect, they're going to have to rethink it, because when people start losing their tax deductibility of the taxes they have to pay in these high tax states, watch what's going to happen. It's going to spark a migration in ways you have not seen before.
You know, you mentioned that, what was it, California, 20% of their revenue comes from capital gains. Now, Silicon Valley is a big locus of payment there, of tax revenue in this fashion. What would happen if we start to see this social change due to the taxation rate in California?
Oh, I think you're going to see a big migration. We're already losing almost 100,000 taxpayers per year. They're moving to places like Nevada, Arizona, Texas, places where there is no state income tax or there's a low income tax. But several states, I mean, Connecticut is dependent on almost 7 or 8 high net worth individuals. They're all billionaires, most of them out of the financial industry. And California is another state which is losing literally tens of thousands of taxpayers. But John, they seem to be oblivious. And what they're trying to do now is they raised tax rates in 2010 to 10.3%. Then they raised them in 2012 to 13.3%. Now they just put into effect an annual tax increase of $5.2 billion, taxes on electric cars, hybrids. They're raising utility taxes. They're raised the tax on a pack of cigarettes and cigars to $2. So they're looking for other sources of revenue, because they realize if they keep raising income taxes, people are just going to say, you know what, I'm out of here. And if this tax bill goes through, this is really going to force a lot of people out. In fact, Goldman Sachs, the Wall Street Journal had an article on the day we're doing this interview on Thursday of 5 different scenarios, what would happen to people under this new tax bill. So this is going to be a major impact on those high tax states. And watch, this is going to be a revenue drain, and it could really impact them, especially like my own state that is so dependent on capital gains revenues if we go into a recession.
Well, you know, millionaires don't tend to move as readily. I mean, they live in high tax states, but I think they're willing to put up with the abuse for some of the benefits of the state, so to speak. But if what you're saying is correct, this may actually overcome that reticence to move, and they'll say, okay, that's enough, we're going somewhere else.
Yeah, and one reason is that for millionaires living in these high tax states, their main source of reducing their federal taxes is the taxes they actually are able to deduct on state taxes, which are deductible property taxes that they pay on their McMansions. So, I mean, let's take a 40% tax rate. The actual highest rate today is actually 44.4, but let's just round it off and say 40%. So if you have Larry Lotsenbucks and he has $100,000 of tax deductions for state taxes and property taxes, he saves $40,000 on his federal tax return by being able to deduct them. So it takes some of the sting out of paying those high taxes, and it reduces the overall effective tax. tax rate. So the deduction is really a significant portion of what they are able to reduce their taxes. So it represents a major tax savings. You know, Thursday, the day we're doing this interview, John Hilzenrath at the Wall Street Journal did 5 tax scenarios to take a look at how it impacts taxpayers. And that's what makes this tax bill so different. You can't generalize it because everybody's different depending on how you itemize your deductions, whether you live in a high tax state or a no tax or low tax state, whether you have high medical deductions or no medical deductions, whether you have property and casualty losses, think of Florida and Texas and Louisiana because of the hurricanes, or you have high miscellaneous deductions. And let me give you an example. Hilzenrath took a single taxpayer in California making $100,000 a year, which does not buy you a mansion in Beverly Hills. That individual's taxes would go up $720 in 2018, and by 2017, they'd be up over $1,000. Now, another case is you take Larry Lotzbucks. Let's say Larry's making $1 million a year. In the state of California, on $1 million, his state taxes would be $102,000. And let's say Larry Lotzbucks has $1.5 million home, which is really nothing here in California when the median price of a home in San Francisco, and I'm talking about nothing big or fancy, is $1.4 million. But property taxes would be about $27,000. And don't forget, they would also reduce the mortgage deduction to only $500,000. So he would lose roughly about $20,000 in interest expense. That would come up to roughly about $150,000 of deductions for Larry Lotzbucks at a 40% tax rate. He would end up paying $60,000 more in taxes. So this is one of the reasons why this idea that this is a tax giveaway to the rich is just, that just simply doesn't hold true. It may help somebody that lives in Florida that doesn't have to worry about state tax deductions because there's no state income tax. And it does help out corporations by lowering the tax rate from 35% to 20%. But as far as individuals that lose their itemized deductions, this is going to, in effect, be a tax increase.
Yeah, and these high tax states too, Jim, because of the high taxes, are high cost of living states. Everybody builds in the cost of their taxes into whatever they sell in terms of goods or services. But the deductions, the deductibility, makes the offsets the high cost of living. Now, if that goes away, there's another incentive lost. The interesting thing is, you know, you and I always talk about static world accounting, that you just do this one thing and then there'll be a little change and an increase in tax. And for some reason, the politicos never get the idea that there's this ricocheting ramification all the way down the chain.
This is why you've seen a number of studies from the Wall Street Journal, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, several others that have come out and say, this is a big one. Because up until this time, as I mentioned, you're really not prone to move if you're a millionaire. I mean, if you have your home, your kids are in school, your business is there. I mean, that's really a big event to pack up, sell your business, move your business, relocate it, unless you're an internet type business that doesn't matter about location. Most millionaires that tend to move is after they retire, they move down to Florida. The study that did the migration study on millionaires factored in Florida was a big part of it. And it also happens when people retire. And that's impacting, this bill is going to impact a lot of retirees in so many ways. And it's not just the high tax states where you have the deductibility of state and property taxes, because every dollar paid saves 40 cents in federal taxes, so it reduces it overall. So let's say the tax rate is 39.6 in my own state of California. You add 13.3, you're now 53.3, and that's not counting Obamacare taxes, which can add another 4%. So the total tax rate could be 57%. And that's why you heard a couple of years ago, Phil Mickelson, the famous golf pro, mentioned to say, you know, it's almost not worth it to play an additional tournament because I'm almost giving away 60% of what I make in various taxes. So you have several firms that are now suggesting that we could see a major migration that would accelerate. There would also be an impact on the high-end real estate market. Because remember, if you're a high-tax, high-cost-of-living state like New York or California, and you start losing these guys out of Silicon Valley, out of Hollywood, they're selling their McMansions, who's going to buy those McMansions? You know, what other Larry Lotsabucks is going to want to move to a high-tax state where the cost of living is high, real estate prices are just outrageous in many places? As I mentioned, the median price of a house in San Francisco is $1.4 million. It's over close to $700,000 in Los Angeles, over $600,000 in San Diego. Who's going to want to do that? So they're saying that this could also impact real estate prices. We did a lifetime income show, I think it was early summer, with a real estate firm who specializes in relocating people out of California for tax reasons. They relocate them and their business. That's their specialty. That is going to be a growing business as this tax bill goes through, because once again, you're going to lose the deductibility of these major deductions for most high income earners.
Yeah, there's always this 1.2, and I'm waiting on this one because it happened after the Reagan tax cuts. If they do away with deductions, remember they did away with some deductions back during the Reagan tax cuts, then, you know, what's to prevent a future Congress and president from coming along in short order and raising the tax rates, and you no longer have the deductions to offset the tax rates?
Yeah, and that happened under Reagan because we got down to 28%. We got rid of tax shelters, excess deductions from real estate, several sales tax deduction. We had it 1 year. Bush Sr. raised taxes to 31%. Clinton raised them to 39.6%. So there's always the risk. Once you do away with all these deductions, then another administration in the future needing tax revenues raises tax rates right back up again, because they're really not lowering tax rates that much on the upper income brackets. They're talking about 35%. That's really not much when you consider the top rate is 39.6. But in exchange for what, a 5% reduction in taxes, they eliminate all your deductions. Think of those individuals that have high medical expenses. Think of somebody that's retired. I have a client who has their mother in a retirement home, and that cost of that retirement home, because she needs constant care, is $6,500 a month. That's all deductible on a tax return. In fact, Hilzenrath in his Wall Street Journal article talked about a couple with high medical expenses. They could see their taxes go up by $4,000 and $5,000 a year because you lose your medical deduction. So this, John, is going to affect seniors in many ways, especially in their latter years when they're more likely to incur higher medical expenses for long-term care or in and out of the hospital, drugs, all the kind of things that you spend, with the average couple spending about $260,000 out of pocket for medical expenses and retirement. That's no longer going to be deductible. So this is a major, major game changer. Many high tax states are going to have to rethink how they raise revenues and rethink their tax policy, or they're going to risk, like Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, and California, see their revenues drop. And the big impact on retirement is twofold: tax deductions for state and local taxes, and medical deductions. And that's why several of these articles coming out this week, now that it looks like we have a greater likelihood of seeing this tax bill getting passed, that you're going to see a demographic migration. I know in my own practice, we see about 20% of our California clients choose to sell their high-cost, high-valued home in California and move to lower-cost, low-tax states. Arizona is a big one because the tax rates are 2.5% and 4.5% there. Nevada, which has no state income taxes. Texas, Florida, these are very popular retirement locales for migration, where not only is the cost of living cheaper, but in many cases, you don't pay state income taxes. And that reduces, John, your medical expenses or your cost of living dramatically, as we'll see in a case study that we do this week.
like to tell everybody too, Jim, that tomorrow on the program, Wade Fow is going to be your guest. His new book, How Much You Can Spend in Retirement. I understand it's a pretty good book. You've read it. I have not had a chance yet. Coming up next, we have our real life case study, which is based on real life. Obviously, this is a hypothetical illustration based on real life examples, and the names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy. We do have slides online at financialsense.com to illustrate the points being made.
This is the case of Casey Tran. He's 58. He wants to retire in 5 or 6 years, maybe a little longer, because we told him that he's eligible for full benefits at a little over age 66. And his life expectancy, going through his health questionnaire, is 93. His risk tolerance is moderate. And basically, from an investment perspective, he wants growth with some income, because life expectancy runs long in his family and he's in very good health. Casey is a senior level accountant. He's lived in New York City his whole life. He makes a great salary, but can only afford to rent because the cost of housing is so expensive. And, you know, this is something I've always found rather fascinating with a lot of my New York clients. They've never had a driver's license because it's too expensive to own a car, with parking and all the other ancillary costs associated with owning a car in a major city. Now, Casey would like to retire eventually, and he enjoys living in a big city, but he'd rather not feel so burdened by high expenses. He's considering staying in New York as one option, but he would have to work longer if he stayed there, where he's basically lived his whole life. He likes the big city, the atmosphere, the cultural advantages, but he's open to the idea of living out of state in another large city like Philadelphia or Miami, because he has friends that have retired down to Florida and they're loving it. No state income taxes, and the cost of living is very inexpensive. Now, Casey's biggest goals include living comfortably in retirement and buying a home for the first time where he can live and enjoy the fruits of his labor. Now, looking at his risk strategy, his risk score was 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, so kind of moderate. His portfolio was 7. He's mainly invested in index funds, and we told him we'd have to scale back on risk as this market heads higher, because obviously he doesn't want to go through a major drawdown or sequence risk as he heads closer into retirement. You know, think of those people in 2008 that saw the stock market lose 58% of its value, or back in 2002. So he's very aware of that. So he's amenable to reducing risk because he doesn't want to lose what he's fought and put away for a long period of time. So we would reduce the risk. What is important to Casey? He wants to buy a home. He's lived in an apartment his entire working career, and he'd like to have a place he calls his own. He wants to minimize taxes and wants to be able to maintain his lifestyle, as many people do when they retire. His budget is $103,000 for essentials, discretionary $43,000, so roughly about $146,000. His salary is $155,000. He's got surplus of $9,000. That budget would be $100,000 for essentials, $40,000 on discretionary if he stayed in New York, and that's a big part of this retirement scenario, because I said, look, if you stay in New York City, it's going to be expensive. You're never going to own a home because you just don't have the assets to be able to afford to buy a home and support your retirement lifestyle. Casey's pension would be $51,000. Social Security would be $34,000. He would have a shortfall of about $50,000. And his assets, his retirement accounts, are about $850. Taxable accounts, $290. He has roughly about $15,000 in savings. Total investment assets of $1.1 million. And that was pretty much it. And, you know, $1 million doesn't buy much in New York City. So there was no way he would be able to own a home, which is basically a goal of his, having lived in apartments all his life. So the challenges were maximize retirement income, manage the high cost of living, and relocate and buy a home someplace where it is affordable. We went and put together a balanced portfolio between fixed income. We reduced some of his allocation to stocks. We mainly went into big blue chip dividend paying stocks for their income in many cases, and a laddered bond portfolio so we would stabilize this portfolio and reduce the risk of a major downturn. That would produce roughly about $38,000 of income, leaving a surplus of about $3,000. However, we said, if you really want to live comfortably and realize your goal of owning your own home, we told them that the chances of doing that living in New York City would not work out. We mentioned that moving out of state, especially, you know, we told him Florida would be a great idea because he could buy a place down there for a couple $100,000. He already has friends that moved down there and retired. And also it would eliminate income taxes. So it would save roughly about $20,000-$25,000 a year in expenses, which would give him a major surplus. And that's what you really want to do. And if you buy a home down there or a condominium down there for $250,000, which was what a couple of his friends did, you put down 20%, that would be $50,000. He could easily afford that, or actually even afford to pay cash for it with the savings that he would get from not only not having to pay rent, not having to pay income taxes, and it would be a substantial savings. We recommended that he work until age 66 and over so he gets his full Social Security benefits. In searching for a new state to relocate, we recommended that he travel and maybe take some vacation. We recommended he go down to Florida, visit his friends down there, and check out the neighborhood and see how he likes it, and then decide on where he might relocate, and then, you know, eventually start moving towards that area. One thing that we told him, he could buy a place now and actually turn it into a rental property and get income from it. So that would be an idea until he was able to actually retire from work and move down there. So the real big thing for him that he's excited about, for the first time, actually owning his own place instead of living apartments, which he's done throughout his adult working career. So, John, here is a good example of what we're going to see more and more of, especially if this tax bill goes through, because it is really going to affect people differently. People that have had large property and casualty losses from like hurricanes or tornadoes, medical expenses for older seniors, and of course, individuals that live in high income tax and high cost of living states where property taxes and state taxes are high. But welcome to the new migration. You're going to see this, and it's really hard to imagine what it's going to do to many of these states in the next downturn. And this is something that Moody's was looking at. There are 15 states that are in trouble right now if we go through a recession because of the way they have very little in savings for a rainy day. They're high tax states, so they could be in trouble if they get an exodus of taxpayers. Just like I mentioned in Connecticut, one hedge fund manager moved his operation to Florida, and the state of Connecticut lost several $100 million in tax revenues. So that's how important these people are. And a lot of these states are going to have to look at different ways to diversify their tax base if they want to keep these people in. The one great thing about the United States, you don't like where you live, you don't like where your taxes are or the cost of living, you simply pack up and you can move, and you have the freedom to do so.
And coming up again tomorrow, Wade Fow, how much you can spend in retirement. That's tomorrow right here on Lifetime Income. Going to be interesting to see what the final tax bill looks like, the one that goes to the president's desk, because then most speculation will end and you'll be able to point out exactly what the bill is going to do. Up until now, we've had two different versions of the bill, and then it has to go into conference and everything related to that. So it should be interesting. Anything else coming up on the horizon?
No, we're probably going to be focusing on this tax bill because it's going to impact so many people in so many different ways, from retirees to affluent business owners to affluent executives to people that have been hit very hard, which is surprising. You know, think of the damage, John, that was done this past summer to people in Houston and Texas along the Gulf, Louisiana and Florida as a result of the hurricanes. Those losses are deductible. And so once this bill starts to take shape and we know what it's going to look like when it goes for a final vote because right now they're ironing out differences. They had 6 or 7 senators and congressmen that they have to negotiate with. And the big news on Thursday, the day we're doing the show with the Dow up over 300 points, is John McCain, who killed the repeal of Obamacare, has come on board and said he will vote for this tax bill. So a lot of these holdouts, there was worries, there was 5 or 7 of them. They're now seeming to line up in order because they know that if they head into elections next year, having accomplished nothing, they are going to end up becoming a minority party again. So we're going to focus on this tax bill because it is going to impact you in so many ways that we haven't even thought of, from real estate prices to the taxes you pay, the deductions, investment returns, municipal bond ratings, all these things are going to be affected by this. We haven't had anything this major since 1986. So this is significant. This is a big one. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.